After the Parkland shootings, I began reconsidering. Why are boys committing these acts of violence? Why are boys falling behind girls in school? How do we teach young men to be respectful toward women? Why are men killing themselves in ever greater numbers? Is there really something toxic about masculinity? If so, what do we do about it? Is the role of men changing? And what does that mean for you, my son? You're 18 and about to leave home for college. I wanted to give you something useful before you go, but what? Cash, you said when I asked. Fair enough. But I wanted to offer something a little longer lasting. That's how I came to write this. Look, I spent the last year and a half doing a lot of reading and thinking about this topic. Now I'm trying to put my thoughts down for you and for parents like me who want to understand boys and men a little bit better. Take from it what you want. Discard what you don't. Some of the personal stories in here you've heard, some you've only heard in part, some you've never heard at all. It's advice, a memoir, ideas, a primer. Or maybe I'm just having the conversation I wish my father could have had with me when I was starting out in the world. Maybe it's partially me talking to him now, man to man. Mostly, though, this is for you as you walk out the door. One father's love letter to his son. The opening of A Better Man, in which our author, comedian, writer, Michael Ian Black, is so darn confessional. As he tells his son early on in the book, he remembers always wanting to be a man himself someday as a kid. And through much of his adolescence, he didn't know how to even begin to bridge the gap between childhood and adulthood. Black writes to his son and to us, quote, "To my kid eyes, men seemed as if they possessed some secret magic. They seemed confident. They knew things about things. They understood women and cars and rock and roll. They could fix stuff. Men could conjure up seemingly unknowable facts from the air, the way my Uncle Larry would pull quarters from my ear. Men, I thought, understood the whole of the world. How did they learn so many things when, from my experience, they did so little actual communicating? The men I saw around me barely spoke at all. I thought their grunts and smirks and nods were a language just beyond the range of my hearing. One day, I figured, my father would pass these fraternal secrets to me, an intriguing alchemical mixture of aftershave, carburetor fluid, and tits. He never did. As a guy myself, it's hard not to see myself, perhaps yourself, in these sentences, whatever one's background. For while Michael Ian Black writes, from a straight white guy's perspective, as he tells his son and us more than once, he's also trying to write as an everyman, looking back at his boyhood, looking forward to lessons he has yet to learn about life, about the racial inequalities, gender inequities, and male-to-male difficulties that he has found in his life so far. It's a wide-ranging, deeply felt, and well-written expression of what he has learned and what he hopes to learn and share with one of the most important people in his life, his son. Almost from page one, our author is clear that boys and men are expected to rein in their emotional selves, to withhold, to hold in their very human, very natural senses of empathy for others, of fear and anxiety, and even of wonder. To be a man, Black reiterates again and again, is to present a face to the world that is false to one's own true self, but is in line with the generations-old silent agreement among men, an unwritten agreement that forces a man into a stoic sense of self against the world in most every situation he encounters. But this is most definitely not a guys are in trouble, best remedied kind of writing. He celebrates as well as criticizes what it means to be a man, pointing to the positive, life-affirming aspects of boyhood and of manhood. Note that in the title, A Better Man, Black presumes his son will go fully into manhood. But growing into physical maturity as a man and following the long-time conventional ways of being a man is not Black's goal for his son. For after all, as he notes quite often, being a white straight male in modern America is to feel viscerally at one's core that he is living in a world he has spent his life adjusting to, but is now quickly collapsing around him. Yes, if you're not a fan of talking about the inevitable change that is happening all around us today, you probably won't be a fan of this book. But let's presume you're open to Mr. Black's opinion, that you're open to someone suggesting, even telling you sometimes, that times are changing, and you'd best, we'd best, get on the train before it gets too far out of the station. Okay, so if you're that kind of guy or gal or person, then I think you'll appreciate Black's advice to his son. To join those who are making a new society possible, to embrace the idea that empathy and compassion, that admitting to fear and pain are not words and feelings for women only to show and to live by, but for men as well. I appreciated Black's observation that little girls are encouraged and expected by those around them to be girls, while little boys are most often encouraged not to be boys, so often as they are encouraged to skip ahead in life and be men. He tells us, does being a man mean being quiet? In a certain way, yeah. One of the first things we learn about being men is that we're supposed to suffer in silence. Actually, we're really not supposed to suffer at all. Whatever pain we experience is meant to be handled with minimal fuss, and better if we can just grit our teeth and bear it. Oddly enough, he continues, while men are meant to be stoic and quiet, boys are meant to be boisterous and loud. So while being a man indicates a certain amount of restraint, boys will be boys suggests wild abandon. When I was growing up, the boys who ran around yelling, wrestling, and beating each other with tree branches were looked upon with approval, or at worst, bemused tolerance. Loud boys were thought to exhibit good manly behavior like aggression and competitiveness. Quiet boys were viewed with some suspicion. They were seen as passive, submissive, qualities that were thought to be feminine and therefore bad. It's weird, Black writes. Nobody ever tells a girl to be a woman. They might tell her to be a lady, but never a woman. Being a lady implies behaving with the decorum and demanded of girls. Every girl experiences a moment when she is first shamed into behaving in a more ladylike fashion. A lady is some elegant, traditionally feminine ideal. Ladies don't lick the bottoms of their ice cream bowls, for example, even when there is no other way to slurp up the last dregs. Being a woman, Black writes, has an almost entirely different meaning. Ladies attend balls and sup with the queen. They sit demurely on the divan, sipping sherry, while men gather in the drawing room to talk business. Women, though, are active. Women do women's work. Ladies offer their gentlemen callers a peck on the cheek after a night at the theater. Ladies are chaste. Women have sex. I hate to be so blunt about it, but it's the truth. And I like how Black, in a self-observant manner that pervades the book, just heard some of it there, writes about this sense that boys ought to be men while girls ought to be girls, arriving early in his own parenting. One of the many times Black personalizes the book by sharing with us his own parenting ups and downs, surprises, and moments of pride in his children. His wife and daughter make cameo appearances in the book. The focus is clearly on Black and his son. His wife most often comes in as a foil to Black's male persona. His daughter is, well, his son's sister. Yes, the writing of these pages can sometimes be a bit repetitive, with Black finding new ways of expressing his approving wonder that women, and Americans who are other than straight white males, are making such strides in claiming their rightful place in American society, and his subsequent concern that men today including him, are confused and scared about these rapid changes, but without the emotional tools to know how to respond, except all too often through anger and lashing out. Will his son, to whom this book is written, come to embrace his father's new society? That's a story yet to be told, a book yet to be written. I look forward to seeing how this particular story develops. I want to finish with two more short excerpts from the book. The first, telling us, in Black's own words, how to celebrate manhood, how to make the most of being a man. He writes to his son and to us, "I hope you'll embrace the good in traditional masculinity. Challenge yourself. Test your limits. Persevere. Have adventures. Do stupid, fun stuff just because it's stupid and fun. Jump out of an airplane and try not to throw up all over yourself like I did the one time I went skydiving. Use your body. Run. Eat too much ice cream once in a while. Once I dropped acid with my buddies on the Badlands of South Dakota. Now, obviously, as your father, I could never in good conscience endorse your doing that, but I am saying it was one of the best nights of my life." Looking forward in his son's life, Black writes, "Every parent has a sense of wholeness at night when they shut off the lights and get into bed and they know that their family is together and safe and home. Once you leave, you'll carry that feeling with you out the door, and we'll never get it back. I remember that last Christmas with my dad. His ridiculous teddy bear hat, that inscrutable dad smile. None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. The kids at Sandy Hook and Parkland, the people in El Paso yesterday and Dayton. We don't know, so we do the best with what we've got right now. And right now, I have so much gratitude for you and your sister. My life as a man is better than it ever could have been without you. Kids teach us parents more than we can ever teach them. You've done that for me. Thanks for being my kid. Thank you for being my son. I love you, Dad." It's moving, it's thoughtful, it's funny, sarcastic a bit. It is Michael Ian Black. And it's such a good read. A better man. A mostly serious letter to my son as he walks out the door to go off into the world. It's a good read. I hope you'll pick it up and give it a chance. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.